Hi everyone, I'm Lan Yuelu from University of Wisconsin Madison, and I'm happy to talk about our projects for isolation and a quick recovery in a file isolation file system. This is joint work with my mentors, Andrew and Ramsey of Hachidosu. File system availability is critical because file systems are the main data access interface in many environments, on a desktop or laptops or even mobile phones, and in data center large scale file servers. File system manage your data. However, in the runtime, file systems have to manage a wide range of failures. For example, resource allocation, metadata corruption, fail IOs. Unfortunately, a small fault probably can cause global failures. For example, when EXT3 file system in the running, when it detects a single bit corruption in the block bitmap, it will remount the whole file system at read only. And these global failures are considered harmful for the availability. Both the read-only or crash will affect all the clients of the file systems. For example, in the server virtualization environment, you have multiple guest virtual machines that will access a shared hypervisor shared file system. Each one has its own virtual disk file. Assume that if one of the virtual disk image has some problem, you assume that only one VM will be affected. Because from the perspective of each VM, they assume they have independent storage that have independent file systems. However, a single metadata corruption of one virtual disk image probably can cause the whole failure of the hypervisor shared file system. And in this case, it will affect all the file system clients. So our solution is we want to provide a new solution for this problem. First, we introduce a new abstraction for the file isolation. This new abstraction can allow you to create a different four domains. And you can put a group of files in this domain. And then this file will represent an independent four isolation. And based on this new abstraction, we propose an isolation file system which can provide fine-grained four isolation and a quick recovery. And this is the outline of my talk. First, I will introduce a simple study of current failure policy in modern file systems. Then I describe the design and the implementation of isolation file system. Finally, I will conclude with the challenges. So here is a list of key questions we want to ask. So first, what's the global failure policy are used in modern file systems? What's their failure types? And what's the number of each type? The second question is, what's the root cause of these global failures? And what's their related data structures? So we choose three major file systems, ES3, ESD4, and BARTFS. And we just analyze their source code. We identify the types of different global failures. Then we count how many of these failures are triggered in different places. And then for each failure, what's their correlated data structures? So question one, what's the global failure policy I use? The global failure basically is a failure which will impact all the users of the file system or even the operating systems. We found two types of global failure. First one is read-only. So basically, the file system will remount as read-only, so you cannot write to file system anymore. So this is a very simple example in the EXT3. So when EXT3 is want to read the bitmap, so the first issue IO request in the line 2, then they will check whether that IO request is failed or not. If it failed, okay, that means it cannot read that block bitmap. Then it will call EXT3 error. That function will, by default, will remount the whole file system as read-only. The second type is crash. So basically, the file system uses lots of the bug, assert, and panic statement in the file system when they found some unexpected states. And this will crash the file system or even the operating systems. So here is a very simple example in the BARTFS. So first, it will read a tree root node. If the root node is return fail because of memory or location failure or other cause, then it will just crash. So we found these two types of the global failures. Then we check, okay, how many of them in different file systems? In this figure, the x-axis shows three file systems, and the y-axis shows the number of instances for each file system. Now we break down in the read-only and crash. And here we found that there are a large number of global failures in all file systems, especially for the new file systems such as BARTFS. And we also found that among these failures and crash, it accounted for over two-thirds for all the file systems. So the takeaway here is like read-only and crash are pretty common in modern file systems. And over two-thirds of these global failures will crash the systems. So the question two is, since global failures are common, then what's the root cause? So we found the three types of root cause: metadata corruption, I/O failure, and soft bugs. First type is metadata corruption, based on when the file system detected the metadata inconsistency. Let's look at a very simple example. Here is the example in the EHS3. So when you read a directory length, you will first check whether the directory length is within a valid range or not. If not, that means this directory entry is corrupted. Then you will call EHS3 error to remount file system. The second type is IO failure, based on you read some metadata, but you read or write some metadata, but the IO operation is failed. For example, in the ES3, when you want to read a directory entry block, you issue a read request. If the return error, then that means this directory cannot be accessed. So then we just call a global failure functions. The final one is to solve the bugs. So basically, you have some bug in the file system, and will cause your file system lead to some unexpected states. For example, when ES3 allocated some blocks, it used a block reservation window. So when you insert a new block reservation window to the whole block allocation tree, you have to make sure that the new block reservation window will not overlap with any existing windows. So this is the code that do the checking. It will first check whether it's smaller than range or bigger than range. Otherwise, that means this has some overlap. Then we'll crash the file systems. So we know that we have three types of the failures. Then we want to study the related data structures. And in this table, we show the study result of ES3 file system. The left column, we show different kind of data structure. And this is ES3 metadata structure, like block bitmap, annotated bitmap, indirect block, journal. And in the middle, we show the three types of the failures, like metadata corruption, IO failures, and soft bugs. And the final column, we show that whether that data structure is shared or not. And here we can see that lots of these failures are caused by shared metadata structures. In this column, we mark as yes. But even more interesting is, for some data structure, like indirect block or extended attribute block, they're local to a file, they're local to a directory. And for even for this local structure, they can cause global failures. So the takeaway here is, like, all global failures are caused by metadata and the system states. And they are not caused by user's data. The second one is both local and shared metadata can cause global failures. And this is not only true for local file system. Even for the shared disk file system like Oracle cluster file system OCFS2, and this file system is used by Oracle to host virtual machine image, and they can allow multiple link guests to share a single file system. And within the OCFS2, there are also lots of global failure statements. That means a single piece of corrupted metadata or IO failure, they can fail the whole file system on multiple nodes. So there's some limitation of current file system abstraction to solve this problem. So the most common abstraction is file or directory. And the file directory only represents a logical content of a file. However, the metadata is still shared across different files and across different directories. And for namespace, like namespace just represents a group of files. They can allow, for example, a virtual machine or BSD jail. They can allow the process just access a part of the whole file systems. However, multiple file systems still share the underlying file systems. And then you may wonder why just not create multiple partition. You can create multiple file systems or multiple partition. Yes, this can only solve the metadata corruption problems. However, if you have a single file system on one of partition, if the file system call a panic, then it will crash the whole operating system. And in this case, it will affect all the file systems. And not only for this part, and if you use static partition, that means your disk space is not efficiently used across different file systems. If you use a dynamic partition, you still cannot do some global block allocations. And you also have to manage lots of partitions, and this requires extra overhead and efforts. So to summarize of the problem is all the files in current single file system implicitly share a single fault domain. And the current file system abstraction does not provide fine-grained for isolations. So thus, we propose isolation file system. Now I will introduce our abstraction and how we do full isolation, quick recovery. And finally, we show a preliminary implementation on EHS3. So the isolation file system, we only have several properties. First is fine-grained partition. That means the files, resource, will partition to a large number of the different domains. And each domain is independent. That means fault units will not affect other healthy units. And we can do some fine-grained recovery. Each unit can repair independently. And finally, each fault domain is elastic, so it can dynamic grow, it can dynamic shrink, depending on number of files, number of directory within that domain. So we propose a file pod abstraction. A file pod is just an abstract partitions. It contains a group of files and their related metadata. So this is the key difference. A file pod will contain their related metadata. And each file pod represents an independent fault domain. We can support a range of operations on that. You can create a file pod, then you can set the file pod attributes, then you can put your VM image or your video file into that pod. That means that pod will protect your file as an independent domain. So let's look at a very simple example. You have a server directory, then you can, okay, I want to put directory 1 at pod 1, put directory 3 at pod 2. So now how we do fault isolation. So we observe that current file system, the metadata is organized as a shared manner. Because the metadata is shared, so it's pretty hard to isolate a failure for different files. For example, so ES3 files or ES2 or ES4, they have an inode block. And one inode block installs multiple inodes, and each inode represents a file or directory. So if you have a block read failure for this inode block, that means you cannot read all the files within the same block. So that means a single IO failure will affect the multiple files. And this is pretty bad. So what we want to do, we want to isolate the metadata for the file pods. So because once we can isolate the metadata for each pod, then we need to convert the global failure to local failures. So for the local failure, we still preserve the same failure semantics, but we only fail a small part of the whole file systems. For read-only, you just need to mark that file pod as read-only. You can allow write access for our remaining files. For the crash, you can crash a file pod. You provide the same initial state for a crash pod as you crash the whole file systems. So in the same example, if you have these two pods, if you have some data metadata corruption in the pod 1, then you just mark this as 40. You still can write to pod 2 on the remaining directories. Once we have the metadata corruption isolation, once you found the metadata corrupt, then you want to do some recovery. However, the current file system recovery is pretty slow. A small error will require you checking the whole file systems. And when during the checking, there are lots of random requests. Even you can check in your file system sequentially with a modern hard drive like 2 terabyte disk, it takes about 7 hours to sequentially read the whole disk. So it's pretty slow. In this graph, it shows very simple visualized effects. You have each blue square is like a block group. Okay, you have a very small error in one of the block group. However, you need to check all the block groups in the other part, even their health, even their consistency. So if we can narrow down the checking range with a small part, then this will improve your efficiency a lot. So the key idea here is we want to minimize the file system checking range during recoveries. Because we already have file pod as four isolation units, and we can recover file pod as independent recovery unit as well. And this can do both online and offline. And because file system already have lots of internal detection code, for example, they check the directory length, they check the bitmap. So once this kind of inconsistency has happened, we can trigger our recovery process immediately. And we don't need to check the whole file system. We can narrow down to a file pod, and we can even narrow down to a certain data structure, for example, bitmap, inode, or directories. And this can speed up FSCK a lot. So now I describe our very preliminary prototype, and this is still a very early stage, so this is a good time for you to give us feedback. So let's first look at the ES3 layouts. So in ES3, a disk just divides to multiple block groups, and there are physical partitions, the same size, and each block group contains like metadata and its data block, like bitmap, inode bitmap, and data blocks. And they have lots of block groups. And in current the file system, the multiple files, they can store within the same block group. And one large file, they also can span into multiple block groups. So we can see that the block group is an abstraction to preserve some data locality. So when you allocate some file or directory, you won't put your related directory and file metadata together, so you don't need a long seek. However, the block group abstraction does not provide any fault isolations. So what we want to do is we want to build on top of this block group abstraction. So basically, a file pod will contain multiple block groups. So we can preserve original performance locality, and we also can provide extra for isolations. So one file port can contain multiple block groups, and one block group only can belong to one file port. So the minimal unit of file port is a one block group. And for the file port, we do not need extra mapping structures, because we know every block group only belongs to one port. Then we just need to store the port ID in its group descriptor. And when you mount your file system, all these group descriptors are already loaded in the memory. So we don't need extra I/O to fetch the port-related structures. And the current, when the file system allocates some block or allocates some inodes, they won't preserve locality. For example, they won't put the data block and inode within the same block group. However, for the port allocation, we need to make some change. Basically, we have to add extra two rules. First is when you allocate a new block, the target block should be within the same port, or then you find a new block group. So that means we do not do cross file port allocations, because in that case, then you have no isolation for that file. So we can see that the file port, the minimal unit is a block group. So there's some internal fragmentation, because the free space of one file port cannot be used by other file ports. So we need some defragmentation tool, and this is similar to the in the ESG4. Finally, the journaling parts. So in current ES3 and ES4, they use transactions. So you have multiple updates from different files, from different processes. Then they will batch together a single transaction. Then we flush that transaction to the disk to improve the locality. So you can do a big sequential write. However, if any failure related to that transaction, then it will affect multiple files. So that means it's hard to isolate that. So what we propose here is we propose a virtual transactions. So basically, we allow each file port has its own virtual transactions. And each virtual transaction will do some journal reservation to share a single share a disk journal. So that means each virtual transaction can write to disk in parallel. So this can provide a better performance isolation, and we also can do some we can do parallel commits, because for each in the current journaling file system, for example, in the all ordinary mode, you have server commit. You have a server waiting time. You first flush the data blocks, then you flush the metadata blocks, then you flush commit blocks. Now we have multiple virtual transactions. We can commit them in parallel. Hopefully, we can overlap some waiting time to improve performance. So the status of what we did, we have a very simple type for ES3. Now it can provide a read-only isolation, but we still have lots to do, like crash isolation and quick recoveries. And also, we won't plan to do for other file systems like ES4 and BARTFS. There are some challenges in isolation file system. The first is the current listen file system, they use tree-based directory structures. So that means if you want to access low-level files, you have to traverse from the top directories. And this is pretty bad for full isolation, because if any failure happens to the top layer, it will affect the low layer. So we probably need to propose a flat namespace. So that means each file domain can be independently accessed without depending on other directories. And there are also some global shared metadata, like superblock. We probably need to replicate this superblock for each file port. And another question we want to ask is it correct to run if the file system detects some metadata corruption or detects some expected states? So basically, we need to manage the file system states pretty carefully. We have to understand exactly what happened when a small piece of metadata corruption or a piece of the system data have problems. So we need to very carefully manage and provide a similar semantics as the original failure policies. And there's some small potential overhead of a managing pod, because when you have some, when you access some file or directory, you have to map in that to have port structures. But we, at the same time, we also can provide better performance isolation and better scalability in the journaling layer. So failure is not an option. This is a pretty famous quote from the NASA. But we know that the failure is unavoidable in reality. So we conclude this talk by rephrasing this famous quote. Global failure is not an option, but local failure with quick recovery is an option. And this is what we do in isolation file systems. With that, now I'm happy to take questions.
Hi, you said you at some point you said you did a parallel commit.
Yeah.
On multiples. Usually when you do parallel commit, like in distributed commit, you have a coordinator. And for two-phase commit, if you have a prepare phase and a commit phase, then you have a problem of losing the coordinator, which blocks everyone else from doing anything until that coordinator comes back. How do you deal with this coordination problem?
In the EXT3, actually, they did a very simple commit phase. They have a commit thread. Basically, they have three phases. Like, first, flush all data blocks to the file systems. Then they're waiting their return. Then they flush the metadata to journal. Then waiting their return. Then they flush the final commit block to the journal. Then waiting their return.
So who's waiting? In other words, are they all waiting?
So every commit is a separate process.
Right.
A separate kernel thread.
But for someone to decide that the whole thing is consistent, because there's maybe multiple files involved, for instance, in a rename or something like file system operation that's complicated, usually there's someone that has to be watching to make sure one half doesn't go and the other half abort.
Actually, here, every thread will be responsible for the update from its own pod. So they don't need coordination across different commit threads.
Okay, so you can have a case where you have inconsistency.
You can have consistency, but only will affect a single pod. And when that fail happens, you know that transaction fail. Okay, then you know that pod fail. Then you mark the error, then you do a recovery for that.
Okay.
So once you are done with building all the stuff that you put on the challenges slide, that still there are global data structures, there is a root inode and everything, once you isolate up to that level, how close it would look to just different partitions?
So we said we won't propose a new directories. We because the tree directory is pretty hard for the isolations. As a partition, I said before, like, first, you have to manage by yourself. You assume you won't create a 20 partitions. Every partition, you have to install a separate file system. That's lots of the overhead, right? Disk space overhead and match overhead. Second one is it's not flexible. Like, if you have free space, you cannot dynamic shrink and grow. And here, we do in the file system level, it seems pretty natural. It's like if you look at other system like a virtual memory system, you have lots of process. Every process has its own page table, right? Here is the same. For the file system, why we cannot partition huge file system to multiple independent parts to allow store different files. So we did a similar thing as the virtual memory did.
I see. So, but if you have file systems that can dynamically grow and shrink, would that be close enough?
But, okay, also I miss a point. If one of the file systems call a panic, then you crash the whole file, you crash the whole operating system, then all your file systems will be affected, right? So we can provide a crash isolation. So that means if you're a part of the code will cause a crash, you will not crash the whole OS, you will not crash the whole file systems.
I see. So you're saying in your case, when you crash the pod, somehow OS would not crash because the data structures are all separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of questions. One is, to implement this pod structure, you must have written a lot of code as well. I mean,
For the pod, actually, it's not much. Okay. As I said before, you just need to embed in the group descriptor. You just maintain, okay, this block right. group belongs to this
okay.
pod. Yeah.
So my question is, does this global code have some cases where it'll cause global failure? You know, and is can we enumerate that? And how do you compare that once all the challenges are also solved around, you know, journaling, whatever we haven't done, how many such global failure cases would be there?
Uh, Can you say again? I missed.
I mean, point. Just like in EXT3, right? Mm-hmm. You had a column of, you know, how many metadata consistency, global failures, and all that. We can do the same analysis on this new code that will be written.
Okay.
Right. And what is your feel about that? You know, would it be only 10% of the cases?
We are targeting to solve all of them. So basically, that's why we for each data structure affected, we want to isolate them in a different file pod.
Correct. So but we, if the code that manages these file pods has a bug or something, or the metadata for all these file pods gets a, you know, inconsistent response from the disk, then wouldn't it be a global failure on the file system?
We haven't looked at into that yet, but because the pod structure is a local structure, right? It's not shared across multiple domains. So if anything happened to that pod related structure, it would also only affect itself.
Right. I mean, the parallel I would draw is, say, a partition table in a disk, right? If that table itself gets corrupted, then you probably lose all your partitions as well.
Yeah, you are right. So currently, the only extra data structure is we embedded in group descriptor. So this structure is we can replicate that in multiple places. And when you mount in file system, actually, this already loaded in the memory. So if anything happened to that part, like, for example, if a block points to a wrong file pod ID, so one solution is we can maintain multiple copies of this group descriptor in the memory, because that's a very small space. So we can do some checking in the memory. Other place, we already have redundancy in the disk. So we haven't checked their parts, but I don't think that's a big problem.
Okay. We have time for another question. Is any other? Go ahead.
Hi, nice work. So you mentioned that a simple metadata error will lead to a global failure because of a simple mistake, like just change the file system to read only.
Yeah.
So, and if perform some bug study, could you comment on like why is that the case? Is it because file system developers are not just putting the correct recovery, or it's just probably safe to just make the file system read only? You know, it's safe to be paranoid than, you know, leading to maybe cascade of corruptions.
I think this is a good question. The question is like, why the file system triggered these global failures? So one observation we did, like, the current, like, file systems, they store their metadata in a shared manner. For example, like Bartfs, when you mount a Bartfs, you need to initialize your tree, right? Uh-huh. So then you have to allocate some memory for a tree structure. If a memory fail during your initialization, then you have no way to recover. Yeah, you can crash. But from other case, like block bitmap, that only represents a one block group. If one bit of a block bitmap fail, I mean, actually you don't need to crash the whole file system if you can do recover immediately.
Right.
So we have to identify like what kind of failures we can continue on, what kind of failures we better to stop.
Right.
As a recent one,
Okay. So there are as a file system developer, there could be two options. One could try to just make a correct recovery, fix all the recovery problems, or implement a more abstract solution like this. So could you comment which one is better? So why yours is better?
Okay, so again?
Well, one approach is just to prevent these global failures. Mm. Is that I'm going to change the file system and fix all the recovery that leads to global failures. But for example, reading a single inode block, if one inode is corrupt, I don't need to crash the entire file system. I can just fix the code and maybe make the inode invalid or something like that.
Okay.
So but maybe we can take this off.
But if you read the current system code, the file system code, they're doing this in an ad hoc way. Like, for example, in the JBD layer, engineering layer, they have so many assertions, so many bug on a statement there, because one transaction in such low layer is pretty hard to recover in there. You have a transaction failure, and this transaction contains so many updates from different process, from different files. It's pretty hard for you to do recovery in there. Mm-hmm. But if we can do this systematically from high level to low level, mm-hmm. any failure happening low level, we can relate it there to high level parts. So we can isolate the whole IO paths, so we can do better job than in current code.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's all thank the speaker.
Thank you.